So I'm going to ask a few questions, and I want you to sort of think about what the topic. It's a very obvious topic. You probably all have the right answers. If there is a right answer, I don't know if there is. That's giving it all away, isn't it? Okay. Richard asked the other day, a little while back, something along the line of, if we had not seen church, you know, what church is, you hadn't seen it, or what, something like that, maybe you're on an island or something, and you had a Bible, what would church look like? Okay, there's the question. What would church look like? So what we're going to do is, you're going to have to try and empty your head a little bit and think about church. Now then, I'm going to read the odd reading, and then you can have a look at it and just think about all the trappings of church and what. And when I say church, well, I've got to watch what I say, because this is, I don't want to be too leading, do I? So the first reading I'm going to get eventually is Matthew 16. So you could find that. I've got the same type of Bible, but I haven't got the same pages. So Matthew 16. And I'm going to read, well, it's a bit where it says, it's about 20 or 19, and I'm struggling to actually spot it. I will build my church. Jesus says, I will build my church. It's 18. There you go. That's why I couldn't find it, because I was looking at 19 and 20. 18. All right. I will build my church. Now, have a little chat about that for a minute. And that's what Jesus says to his disciples. I will build my church. So what does that make you think? You have a chat for a few minutes or seconds, whatever. I will build my church. Can I just ask, how many of you have read the bit around it? Good. Because if you were doing a Bible study and someone gives you one verse, this is just a good thing to do. Read around it. Don't just take the verse on its own, because it's easy to give a verse and take it out of context. So when someone quotes a verse, read around it and then check that the context is good, because someone can find an obscure verse and make it say what they want. So I will build my church, you could take that, but when you read around, it might give clues and it might not. I can hear the word Pope mentioned, which is where they get this idea from, but actually if it's what he says is what it's built on, that's the rock on this rock is the phrase, isn't it? Rather than Peter himself. Yes, it's the phrase that he uses is the foundation stone. So that's so in a way there's a slight red herring on making Peter the sort of the rock. It's actually the phrase that he uses is the foundation stone. Let me read something else, and we'll just add bits to this, because this is now it's important when we look at that, if you have an idea what the word church means, because I will build my gla-gla and the gates of hell. What does gla-gla mean? See, so we've got to know what church means. See, if you never heard that word before, what would it mean to you? Since we haven't come across it. And really, when I was looking at it, I heard it mentioned here, assembly was mentioned, you know, like, so if you think of a school assembly, what's a school assembly for? Gets everyone together. Share information. It's notices. Yeah. It's a structured getting together. It isn't a random. Oh, look, it's a bunch of people that have all met in town, you know, waiting for a train or something. It's a gathered together community. So So, for like a school assembly, and it's for instruction and teaching. That's what it's for, to come together to give notices, teaching, rules, whatever that assembly is for. In ancient Athens, an assembly, there was the word that is taken from, the assembly, this word that church comes from, was open to all male citizens. So, now, we're not saying the church is only for males, but that's where the word comes from. So, in a sense, I'd say the closest thing that we have to it is Parliament. It's like a governing body, part together. They were citizens of Athens. There was a city-state, like Monaco, and you were a member of it, and you had a say in the running of your city. So it was more than just a get-together. In Athens, it was all about the running of the city, and you had a status, and you were somebody. And if you weren't, if you lived in Athens but you weren't a citizen, you had no right to go to that assembly. So I'm just trying to pick some ideas out. So they would have understood that word as meaning this gathered together group that of, you know, with one accord or with some importance or with a purpose. And in the Old Testament, before Jesus' time, they would gather the Israelites, they'd blow a trumpet and call them all together. And Moses would give them sort of the latest set of rules or instructions or say we're about to move on. So it gets taken from there. So it's a gathering together. Let me just read something else out here. In Matthew 28, so here's another one you can look to. and you can have a look at this and see what you can pick out of this. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Have a little look at that and see how that adds into what we just talked about, an assembly and teaching and stuff like that. You can add this one onto it. Matthew 18, verse 18 and 19, probably 20. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, this is the bit that I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything, and you ask for it, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. That's the key little, a key verse. So what we're trying to do is build, because in a way the church has to come out of, see, this is our textbook. What we've got here, the Bible, is our textbook. And we are trying to work out what church is. And we're looking at verses and think, now, what is church? Jesus said, I'm going to build it. What is it? And then he's told them what they've got to do. They've got to go and make disciples. And we're going to add in verses to try and think about what we're doing. What is church and what should we do? And then we'll just keep adding in. Does that help at all? So does a church have to be 1,000 people? Why? What can it be? Well, it says where two or three are gather. Two or three. I'm in the middle of two or three. No, doesn't have to be a big group. So that's the point I'm getting here, is it doesn't have to be 1,000, 800. It could be a group of two or three getting together and praying about stuff and building on that. So that's that. That's really what the point of that one is. Okay, so what we're working out, that the church can be, hopefully you've got this from that, two or three. Jesus has given those two or three authority. And out of that authority, they can make decisions that are effective in heaven and earth. So that's what we've come to. So it's a coming together. So it's not acting individually, it's acting with other people. Right, here's another set of verses to add into this now. We're jumping into Acts now. This is a very important one, Acts. So you've got to get to Acts 2. And then we're going to do all this next bit, 42. And it's a challenging bit for the church now. We're starting to look at what that gathering might look like. So I'll read it. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, or fear, depends which one you read, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So have a little look at that one. There's some challenging bits in there and some tough bits in there. Acts 2:42. Yeah, to the end. So have a read through that, talk about that, and see where we are possibly falling short or not. But that's fellowship life. That is what that's how the church should be active. Do we in this country see people without? Well, yes, because you could read that and think it's a kind of form of communism, but it's not actually. It's with need, isn't it? So, here's the question: I would think they're talking about food and shelter, but food particularly, isn't it? But I don't know what you think. It's not necessarily just making everyone equal financially. I think it's. When they saw people like going without food or something, they might have got them a meal. See, they gave to anyone who had need. Need's different to want. So hopefully there's apostles' teaching they listened to. Fellowship, that means they had to meet together. Any awkward questions? Do you want another one to look up? 1 Corinthians 14, 26 to 33. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 down to 33. I can read some of that. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn. Some translations would say one has a hymn, or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak, one at a time. And someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop, for you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. So have a look at that and see what that says to us about the church. So from that, do we see that there should be just one leader at the front doing it all?
Yeah.
Do you?
Isn't that what it says?
I don't think it says that. It's something for everyone. Everyone's involved. It says maybe one has a song, one has a prophecy, one has a word of knowledge, whatever. It's everyone's involved, not a one-man band, as my dad used to say. I got another one in a minute. If you want another one, Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors. Did you see that? There's not one pastor. It's just to get us the thing. There's some of all, right? And some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. So in this reading, we're going to see that there's a complete mix, and we're seeing what the purpose of the church is for. So let me go through that bit again. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So to become more like Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. You know, when the Mormons come to the door and they start talking to you and you haven't got a clue what's going on, hopefully you'll be able to say, well, actually, I believe that something, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, let's carry on. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It's portraying the church as a body now, not as a building. It's a body. And the purpose of the body is to become more Christ-like. To become more Christ-like. That's the purpose of the church. And when we meet together, we're trying to encourage each other to get to that goal. What's the goal? It's to be Christ-like. There's the goal. And that's what our aim and purpose is, to get each of us to encourage each other to run that race, to be more Christ-like, and eventually we will end up with Christ, you know, in heaven, sort of whatever type thing. But that's the goal of what we are, to become, to encourage each other to spur each other on to be more Christ-like. So we've kind of built up, so we're an assembly, a group of people that meet together in his name, because of him. There's the purpose here, to be like him. So when I look at all that, you know, there's lots of things that we aren't. I've got a couple more. I don't know how we're doing for time. We're almost there. Just a couple more. We got Acts 13, if you want to just jump back to Acts 13, just 1 and 3, have a quick look at that one. So Acts is going back the other way. Acts is a book that sort of says a lot about the church, and it's where we get our understanding for a lot of it, but we have jumped in and out. So it's 1 to 3. So it says, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, a Simeon called Niger. I think he was probably an African. Yeah? He was probably an obvious black person in the church, I would say. What do you think? Mentioned there. Yeah? Lucius of Cyrene. I'm not sure. I didn't look up Cyrene. Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. So he's brought up in a palace. And Saul. While they were worshipping, so here we can see something that the church would gather together doing. They were worshipping. Doesn't say how they worshipped. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting. Oh, there's an awkward word. Fasting. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So when you see us sometimes, someone comes, we get someone at the front and we might put our hands on them. You can see where they're getting the ideas from. It's not necessarily just randomly done. So you see why the practices of what might be done. And then, funnily enough, I could perhaps go to this one, Hebrews 10:23. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." Ooh, it's like we've heard that already. "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So there is a call to meet together. Why do we meet on Sunday? I haven't written that one in. Do we need to meet on a Sunday? But the church did meet on the first day of the week. But if you lived in some countries, you'd have to meet on a Friday, because that's their day off. What I look at when I look at all this, we've read lots of these verses, and there's things in there that we are to look out for, but there's an awful lot we've added in. And so the church is very flexible. Jesus' church is flexible. It's not necessary about buildings. A lot of people, it's all it is about is the building. Whether the building should face east, west, north, south, whether it should be built in the shape of a cross. But not that those things are particularly wrong, but they can be the wrong focus. Whether to have crosses in the church or not have crosses in the church, crosses outside. It doesn't say, have you read anything about having a cross in the church? Have you read anything about a building? No. See, we haven't read anything about they met an assembly. Well, you have to have a room that's big enough to meet whatever group. So if you're meeting two or three, you can meet in a house. But if you had 100, you might need a building like this. You see what I mean? So those are practical issues, but it was never about a building. They could have met, if you were in a nice warm place, you could have met, you know, out under a tree or something. You know, some churches make a big fuss about having a table at the front. Have you read anything about a table at the front? Yeah. Now, I'm not saying they're wrong, but they're not what the church is about. The church is about people encouraging one another to become Christ-like. So if you think of it like that, vision statement. Have you read a vision statement in there? Sort of. No. It's kind of a vision statement. What would that be? Perhaps when Jesus said, go out and make disciples? Yeah. Well, sort of. But you've got it in the Bible, haven't you? You've got what you're told to do. See. What about a website? Do you have to have a website? You don't have to have a website, do you? But it's informative. You know, these, they're not, it doesn't say in the Bible you have to have a website. I'm just being silly now. Yes. It doesn't say that you have to have a Bible, but we do. You know what I mean? But it's informative. And yeah, and it's all part of teaching. It keeps people informed. So there's all these things, and the church is very flexible in how it, the kinds of songs it wants to sing. It doesn't have to be this type or that type, or, you know, it's about worshipping Jesus. So, you know, it could be, how can you worship Jesus? I think the disciples worshipped him. They may have sung, they may have bowed down. They may have spoken worship. If you worshipped someone, you'd probably speak out words of adoration to them. So it's really words. If the words are perhaps the words of adoration or are coming from your heart rather than just empty. So there's a lot of flexibility in when Jesus said, I will build my church. He built into it flexibility. And we don't have to be obsessed with whether it's this or it's that. But as long as you have the basics in it. So if someone comes along, as it says there, and with a different teaching, it's the teachings that is a sort of foundational thing, really, as well. So if somehow Jesus goes missing from your church, something's gone wrong. Because if that's your goal, to be more Christ-like, and you've suddenly lost Jesus, you've kind of lost what you're there for. You might be there doing good things. You might be there feeding the homeless, which is a good thing, but it's about becoming Christ-like. And I think, thank you for joining in this little study. I think I'm going to finish on that note and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you, Jesus, that you are an image of the Father. And I pray that you would help us as we go through our daily lives to be aware and to try and be more like you as you change our hearts and our thinking. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.